That was a great song. Thank you, Nathan. And, you know, he's been a real blessing since he's gotten here, and just a spark plug, always smiling, appreciate him. Plays the piano and sings. Now I don't like him anymore. No, I'm just kidding. No, we appreciate him. He plays piano in our Sunday school class and just jumps right in and gets into the work. Well, speaking of the college, we have a special treat tonight. Brother Tim Manis, the Dean of Men out in the college, new Dean of Men, took my job from me. And now I'm over at the principal now. I don't know if I got promoted, demoted, or sideways moted, whatever they call it. But no, I'm loving it over there. I really am. And he's doing a good job. I've heard good things. And so we're going to hear from him tonight. Brother Tim, you come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would, tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I was thinking about Brother Pouts. He was talking about if he'd been promoted or demoted, and I think he's just been smitten, amen, to be put down there at the high school with all those high school students, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here at Landmark Baptist Church tonight. It's good to be behind this pulpit. It is an honor and a privilege, and I count it a tremendous blessing of the Lord to be here, and I want to thank the church and Pastor Carter for the opportunity. If you're able to, I'd like to ask you to stand out of honor and respect for the Word of God. We're going to read one verse tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, or chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, this time and opportunity that we have to be in your house, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, you'd use your holy word to touch our hearts, dear Lord. I pray that you'd move me out of the way, dear Lord, so that you can speak to the hearts of people tonight, dear Lord. I pray above all else, dear Lord, that you would speak to my heart, dear Lord. You challenge me with the things that you've given us, dear Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' wonderful holy name. Amen. You may be seated. My topic tonight is we must love the gospel. We must love the gospel. I was reading through my Bible some months ago and come across this verse, and the Lord laid it on my heart, and as I read it, Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, and he's sending some men to help with their spiritual condition. As we know, the church of Corinth was a very carnal church, had lots of problems, lots of issues in their life, in their church, and lots of sin. So as Paul is sending men, he's sending down there Titus, and he sends with him, and he doesn't name him here, and we don't know for sure, but there's a lot of evidence that points that it was Luke that he sent down here to Corinth. But as I read this verse, it struck my heart. It says, "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." There was just something about the gospel that he loved the gospel. Every time you're around this brother, he was talking about the gospel. You could see the evidence of what the gospel had done in his life. You could see something had happened because the gospel. When Pastor Carter asked me last Thursday, almost a week ago, to preach tonight, I started praying. I said, "Lord, I want you to lay on the hearts of those singing that they would sing a song that would go with the message." And as Nathan was singing, he said, "He's died and he rose again, and that's all I need to know." And that is what the gospel is. And the gospel is, and Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And this is the gospel right here. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my challenge, as I was thinking about this, I was reading through, and the Lord challenged my heart. He said, we need some more people who just have that testimony, that idea about them, that they have a praise in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more churches that they're just known. You know what that church is known down for the street for? It's not for what they put on their sign. It's not for what that they know. They're known because their people love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have a celebration in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what a church ought to be known for. They ought to be known for the stand they take for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a chaplain in a prison for a while, and I enjoyed that job. Had lots of different opportunities. And there was a Catholic deacon that would come in, and he'd what they would call minister to the men there, and he would every Tuesday he was a blessing to me. Every Tuesday he brought me a John Smith sub. Every Tuesday, never failed. Ham and lettuce and cheese and the whole thing is delicious. And so he's a blessing to me. He'd bring it to me. He would bring it to me and I'd eat it. And he'd sit down in my office and we'd talk here and there and talk about different things. And he would always try to convince me that we had the same baptism. And I said, listen, baptism is important. It's a thing that we are to do as children of God. I said, but something that's more important than that is this. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. My trust isn't in a baptism. It's in the gospel. It's in something that goes beyond what baptism is. Baptism is only a sign of the gospel. Baptism is only a picture of what has happened, that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. So baptism was only a picture of what truly has happened in my heart. And so I, as I was reading this and come, I said, man, we got to figure out how to make the gospel a bigger part of our life. I know for me, I had to do that, and maybe there's many people in here, I'm sure, that have already made it a huge part of their life, and you say, how can you be a child of God and not really love the gospel? Well, you look at different people. Look at the church of Corinth. There's a whole chapter devoted to them on the fact that they had stopped believing that there was a resurrection of the dead. How can you believe in the gospel when you can't believe there's a resurrection of the dead? The whole chapter, the longest chapter in either book to the Corinthians, first or second letter, chapter 15, and Paul tells him, he says, how in the world can you not believe there's a resurrection of the dead? He said, if you don't believe that, we are of all men most miserable. Paul said, as I think about the gospel and what the gospel is, Paul said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that's in reference to Isaiah 53. The gospel goes even, to me, it's, yes, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's some details given in the Bible about his death. If you were to read Isaiah chapter 53, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's such a moving portion of Scripture, such a moving text. It says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was hid, as it were, from our faces, or from men, and our sorrows were, I got messed up in my notes. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Boy, if you can't love a story like that, if you can't find a place for that in your heart, I think you've got some spiritual issues. And so he's writing to a church at Corinth that we know had spiritual issues, all kinds of immorality and suing among members. I can't imagine. I've got many friends here at this place tonight, and I can't imagine. I can't imagine somebody on this side of the auditorium suing a man over on this side of the auditorium. But that's what was happening in this church. You know why? Because the gospel wasn't. There wasn't an appreciation of the gospel that should have been there. So I got 4 points for tonight. Good Lord willing, I'll let you out on time. I've got about 29 minutes. Amen. But you must love the gospel for this reason, for yourself. Above all else, you must love the gospel for yourself. But if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if he's forgiven you of your sins, you've got to find some place in there, I am sure. If he's forgiven you your sins, he's done something wonderful for you. He's taken you from the pit of hell, a resident of hell. He's given you a spot in heaven. He's given you a chair to sit there, and you're going to worship for all of eternity at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly you can find some place in your heart to love and care about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:1, Paul said, Paul, an apostle, this is his introduction, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, the God of the Father, who raised him from the dead. You know, the gospel, ought to be the source of our power and strength. It ought to be the source of our power and strength. I can't do anything inside myself. I'm not worth it. As I was sitting up here, and Nathan was singing, I was sitting up here, and I bowed my head in prayer. I said, dear Lord, please help me to put self aside. Help me to put my ideas and all the things that I would think aside and only preach the things that I know that you need these people to hear. Because I know that in myself, I can give you lots of things. I can tell you lots of things, but it's not going to be very beneficial to you. It's not going to help you very much, but if I can get the gospel and portray it to you and give it to you and give you a burden for the gospel, it's going to change your life. It's going to make you realize that, man, I've got power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Inside me there is no power, there is no strength, but with the gospel there is power. Amen. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Somebody cannot get saved without knowing what the gospel is. They've got to know that they're a sinner, yes, but they've got to know that somebody died for their sins. Amen. And the Bible says that if they don't believe in their heart that he has raised from the dead, then they cannot believe unto salvation. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. Because without that, you can't be saved. It's to remind you that you must live holy. The gospel is there to remind you that you must live holy. Romans 1:1, Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. Some people wonder, why does pastor get up there and give all these things that we should do, the way we should dress, and the things we shouldn't listen to or should listen to, and the TV shows we shouldn't watch? It's because he wants you to love the gospel. He wants the gospel to make a difference in your life and in somebody else's life. He wants something to happen in your life, and he wants you to see the miracle, the transformation that can happen when you take the gospel and you apply it to all points of life. Hey, listen, if you sit down at the computer, the TV, you're not going to set something before your eyes when you can think to yourself, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again so that I would not have to put myself subject to the sins of this world. I would not have to be under the confinement of the sins of this world. I've been set free from that. I no longer have to be a part of that. Because of the gospel. There's another reason that it ought to remind you to live holy and live whole and do the things that are holy. Because you have family somewhere. You have friends. And I'm sure somewhere along the line you have a lost relative of some sort. Or a close friend that is lost. Maybe not a close friend, but you have an acquaintance that you care deeply for or something. And they're lost. You say, why should I live holy? What about your children and your grandchildren? If there's no example for them, you get saved and you don't ever do one thing for the Lord, you never let the gospel make a difference in your life, they're going to grow up and they're going to live in sin. And unless somebody else that's not part of their life comes in and shares the gospel with them, your life might be the only testimony they have of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how important is the gospel to you and your family and your heritage? How important is it to those that are going to come after you? It ought to be highly important. Amen. That it would change your life. That it would make a difference in you. It's to remind you to live holy. We must love the gospel for ourselves. We also must love the gospel for each other. I'm going to read a portion of 1 Thessalonians, and he's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's talking about a resurrection, which is part of the gospel. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You know, sometimes we as the children of God, we look like people that are hopeless. That's right. You just have no smile to them. There's no gladness. Yeah. There's no joy in their heart. I tell you, I've come into people at Walmart and Publix and all, and I try to always look happy. I'm playing with my son and we're smiling because I've got a joy in my heart because the gospel has made a place in there. It's settled a little corner in my heart and it's done something for me. It's called me out. And I need to get going with my point. For each other, we need to love the gospel. Pick it up in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, talking about the gospel, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says this, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He mentioned it there in verse 14. Says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel, okay? If we believe he died and rose again for our sins, he's going to come back, and those that have died, that are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to rise again. He says, so comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I got discouraged. Amen? I think all of us can say there's been at least one time in our life where I was just downright discouraged. Nothing was going my way. Nothing was going the way that I felt like maybe they needed to go or should go. Things were difficult. Things were hard. Things were confusing. And you don't know which way is up and down. And all if you this don't ever happen at Landmark, okay? But if you could imagine where everything just seems like it's against you. You hear people are talking about you. People are lifting up your name, and not in a good way. Amen? And your family's going through financial struggles. You're going through physical problems. I know when my wife had her tumor, I praise the Lord, I call up here to Pastor Carter and said, I'll have the church pray, and we thank you guys so much for your prayer in that time. That was a tremendous blessing to us. But for us, that was, for me anyways, my wife seemed like she was on cloud nine, but for me, I was scared and discouraged. It was a time of torment and pain in my life. And I had a brother at the church. His name, I'm not afraid to say his name. His name's Jim Canucky. Praise the Lord, a good guy, goofiest fella you ever met. And he was Tom Malone's bus director for many years. And he called me up and he said, brother, I just want to encourage you and strengthen you, just remind you that the Lord's with you and he's taking care of you. And you know what caused him to do that? The gospel. The gospel made a difference in his life. He said, you know what? I know that I've got peace in all areas of life because Jesus Christ died for me and he rose again. And I know that one day I'm going to meet him in the clouds. And he says, you know what? Because I'm so encouraged, I'm going to call Brother Tim, who's having a hard time, and encourage him in the gospel. Amen. You know, we've got to love the gospel for each other. If you love the gospel, you find it kind of hard to gossip about each other. Jesus Christ would never gossip about people. If you love the gospel, you'll be able to find yourself to do a lot of things for each other. Hey, if Jesus Christ was died and buried and rose again, if he was smitten and afflicted for you, why can't you do a little something for a fellow church member? Why can't you sacrifice a couple hours and go help somebody move? Just sacrifice a couple hours, maybe a couple dollars, and go buy some groceries. Do something for somebody else. Amen? Must love the gospel for each other. Number three, we must love the gospel for the lost. Boy, if there's no bigger reason, we must love the gospel for the lost. 1 Corinthians 2, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We ought to let the gospel come out in our life. It ought to flow out of our life, in our word, in our deed, in our actions, in our dress, in everything we do. Some of you might wonder why the college has to sit right here in these first seven pews in these two sections, because we have a rule for that. And if they don't do that, at least if the guys don't do that, I'll call them down to my office and I give them a little blessing. Amen. And all the college students, it's funny, they come from all over the state, and some of them out of state and out of country. And they said, you know, a blessing was always a good thing where we came from. And they said, you guys have redefined the term of a blessing. And maybe we planned it that way. We don't want you to know if you're coming to the office to get a real blessing or a blessing. Amen. And but if they don't sit here in this certain section of pew, we give them a blessing. We got lots of rules at the college. Some students think we have too many, and some think that we don't have enough. Amen. And I heard somebody say amen, and so praise the Lord for that. But you know what? You know, if you ever wonder why we've got rules, then it's the same reason that God has things in the Bible for us to do and not do and things for us to stay away from. It's for this, for the furtherance of the gospel. It's for the idea to teach you, to discipline you. And it's the same thing with the children of God. When God wants you to do something, it's a discipline for you to go out to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world, to take the gospel to them so that they can have salvation, so that they can go to heaven just like you are. But the gospel comes to a stop with us sometimes. It ought to flow out of us because there's a lost and dying world going to hell. There are people out there. Hey, listen, if you had a love for the gospel, sometimes we pull out our billfold, and I like it. Pastor Carter has a stand up for the offering. The church where I was at in Okeechobee, every time they take out an offering, they clap. Amen? And that's good, too. And I love to watch visitors when they would do that. People are like, what are they clapping for? We're getting ready to give our money away. But, you know, we go through our wallet sometimes, and you know, let's say you got a 100, a 50, a 20, and a 1. You pull out your wallet and you say, well, I got to save this 100 because I need to make that. I need to use that for the car payment. I'm going to take this 50 and save it for the satellite payment, this 20, so I can have a nice lunch today, and I'll forget about the rest of the family. Oh, here's a dollar bill. That can go for missions. So what kind of impact has the gospel had on your wallet when it comes to the loss? What kind of impact has the gospel? Hey, listen, if you're going through your wallet and the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding you that I died for your sins, that I was buried, that I rose again the third day for your sins, it's a whole lot harder to take that 20 and that 50 and all that stuff and say, you know what? The lost world just isn't worthy of my money. Those missionaries that are going out, they don't need it. They can get by without it. They just need a little less food and they can go and reach some lost people. I'm telling you, they need the money so they can go and reach a lost and dying world. What kind of difference has the gospel made in your life for the lost? For people that are dying, going to hell. You say that a lot because I want an emphasis on that. You get out. We were driving to church tonight, and there were a line of cars, and I knew I had to turn in right here at this first portion, and there were four cars lined up. So I eased on the brakes, and I flashed for the car to turn into that neighborhood because he was going to turn left. And the cars that were behind him were blocking my way to get in. So as I eased on the brakes and I flashed the lights, the car behind me goes, meh, honks the horn at me. Amen? I'm like, what are these fools doing? And I was like, I'm just trying to let the person turn so that I can get where I need to go. And then when I went to slow down again to turn in, they blasted the horn at me again. And I praise the Lord that I'm a man of slow temper. Amen? And you college students ought to praise the Lord for that as well. And, you know, that person needs the gospel. We're probably going to go to McDonald's tonight or Burger King or something like that to get some food. Amen? And that cashier is going to need the gospel. They're going to need somebody to tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day for their sins. The last reason I have for you tonight to love the church, don't worry, I saved most of my time for this point. I don't want you to think we're going to get out too early. We must love the gospel is for the church. You know, the church is the most, outside of the family, I believe it's the most important institution on the earth. The government's important. We kind of need the government. Amen? Not like this one, but we do need government. But the church is so important. I mentioned to you earlier, as I was reading through many commentaries, because I wanted to find out who this brother was that Paul mentions. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1 in the meanwhile. So I was reading many commentaries. I read Brother Seitler's commentary, and he didn't have much to say on it. And I read probably five or six commentaries on this portion of Scripture. And out of the ones that I read, three of them, and one guy strongly believed that this was Luke. And so I started doing a little bit of research. I wish that I'd have had more time, and I'm not saying that I didn't take time to study. I was telling Brother Perkins what happened. Pastor Carter told me a week ago, and I prayed for the Lord to lay a message on my heart. And any of you that are preachers know that the Lord will do this from time to time. He won't give you the message until last minute. Amen? And so about this afternoon, about 4 o'clock, the Lord said, all right, this is the one. And I struggled with it for a while. And he laid this message on my heart. And so as I went through these commentaries and I putting things together and putting thoughts together, I started thinking about Luke. Started doing some research on Luke and doing some word searches. I don't think it was an accident that Paul, and I believe, after doing some searches and doing some history check and paralleling scripture from Acts, I do believe it was Luke that Paul sent with Titus. And I don't think it was an accident. You get to looking up resurrection, raised, gospel. You know, Luke uses the term resurrection and raised more than any other writer of the Bible. Maybe because he had a passion for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is sitting, he's thinking, he's like, listen, of all the doctrines and all the mishaps that the church at Corinth have, all their sins, the biggest problem is it's not the fornication, it's all this. Those are all underlying problems of what really is happening, and that's that they don't believe the gospel, that they don't believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. They might believe he was dead and that he's buried and that he's still there. He said, but that's not sufficient. That's not going to work. They've got to believe that he has rose again. Paul took a whole chapter and wrote on it. He said, what's the issue? What's the problem? He says, how can you believe this? What's going on? Listen, you want to know what a problem is with a lot of churches these days? Is they don't have the gospel preached to them in the first place. And when it is preached to them, it's so watered down, it's so broken down that they don't know what to believe. The so-called men of God are getting up and sharing their opinions and their thoughts. You don't need my opinion and thoughts. You need the gospel. So I believe that by Luke's very example of the things that he wrote, he spent more time, if you look at the Gospels, from the time of Jesus' resurrection until his ascension, he wrote more verses than any other Gospel has. Especially if you go from Luke and you go down to Acts verses 1 through 8, or about the time when Jesus Christ was on the earth, Luke spends more time dwelling on those things than any other Gospel does. Or writer, I should say, because part of it's in Acts verses 1 through 8. He puts an emphasis on it. He says, man, it's so important, this part of the gospel, the resurrection. He mentions the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ more than any other writer of the Bible. I believe it's this. He was sent to that church for this very reason, because they needed somebody to encourage them in the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, I told you to flip there, and I forgot to flip there. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 12. Paul said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. And I believe that's in reference to when he was before Caesar. He says, in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, because of how bold I've been with the gospel, other people have been bold with the gospel. Boy, if we could get one person to stand up in church and just be a proclaimer of the gospel, I'm not talking about preacher. We already know he's a firm believer and he loves the gospel and he proclaims it all the time. I'm talking about people out in the church that would stand up and go out consistently all the time and share the gospel. It would do something. It'd spark a fire. Something would happen in this place. He says verse 15, and some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, only sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And Paul was arrested at this time, and some of the commentators that I read said that these were Judaizers not preaching the gospel of Christ out of sincerity, but simply for the idea to add more shame to Paul. Paul didn't care. He said, but the other of verse 18 is, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, I don't care. I want to draw your attention now to verse 27. He's talking to a local church. a called out church. And in fact, the book of Philippians is the only book in the entire Bible out of the Pauline epistles without rebuke. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. He said, your conversation, that's your lifestyle, everything about you. Let it become the gospel. When people look at you, they say, man, there's something different about him. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, the things you do, the things you say, the way you are. He said that ye stand fast in one spirit. The gospel is going to cause you to do some things. If you really have the gospel, you really love the gospel, you're going to stand fast in one spirit. He's talking to a church, okay? He says, stand fast in one spirit. Be unified in this idea. You know, we can unify around a lot of things. You know, the reason we have congregational singing is to help us unify for the service. It's to help us join our hearts together. And Brother Cruz, praise the Lord, I'm so glad I forget which song we were singing because I got so sidetracked. But you said if you're over 30 or 30 and above, don't sing the verse. And I was sitting there, and I got Brother Oswardi sitting in front of me, and I watched him, and he started to sing out of habit, I think. And I said, oh, brother, you can't sing. I don't know how old you are, but your hair color reveals a little bit, amen? Praise the Lord, Brother Oswaldi. I know he's a man that can take that. And then Brother David Scott, he don't quite look, but in 2 days, he won't be able to sing in that bracket. He'll be joining the next bracket. He'll be right with you, Brother Oswaldi. But the reason we sing, that we do, is to bring us together in unity. To give us a heart and bring us together, to work together. He says that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. I looked up that word striving. The first definition given to it in the 1828 dictionary is this: to put forth effort. Before anything else, before talking about conflict, because striving is, it's going forward with conflict. But the first definition that we had listed in the dictionary was to put forth effort. I was thinking about that. Man, so many of us don't put forth any effort. We do what's required. We do what somebody tells us to do. But when was the last time we put forth some effort? Did something a little bit above and beyond the call of duty. I remember when Sam Gipp was here this many moons ago. I was a sophomore in college, and he was preaching. And there's a handrail right outside this door. And he said this. He said, if you love the Lord, you're going to do something that's not your job for the Lord's sake. Do something that's not prescribed to you. Amen? Anytime you get a job in the ministry, it's not a 40-hour job. You don't come in at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, take exactly an hour lunch, and then 3:59, all right, let's zip this up, out the door I go. That's not the ministry. That's not how it works. That's not putting forth effort. That's getting what you're paid to do. That's all that is. And so I'm challenging you on the things of God and on the gospel. He's saying, put forth some effort. You want to know why? Read the rest of the verse. He says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He's challenging a church, the people in that church, a local assembly. He said, I need you to strive together for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of getting the gospel to lost people. He said, put forth some effort. I hope as encouragement to you tonight. But I just want to tell you, you know, we ought to love the gospel. You know, the last mention of the gospel in the entire Bible is in the book of Revelation. The Bible says that an angel went, and this is the last chance that anybody that had never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will have an opportunity to get saved. The angel went and proclaimed the gospel. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, I don't know anything about this gospel you're talking about. I've never heard the gospel. I've never heard that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and that he rose again for, yes, my sins and your sins. If you've never heard that tonight, we're going to get ready to have a time of invitation. We still got a couple minutes. Can we have the pianist come forward? We'll have the pianist and musicians come forward. I want to challenge you, fall in love with the gospel. You don't know the gospel, you can learn it tonight. I'll show you down here how you can know for sure the gospel, that you have a home in heaven. Let's all stand with heads bowed. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, this time, and opportunity we have to come into your house, dear Lord. We thank you for the glorious gospel, dear Lord, that you were beaten and smitten, and dear Lord, that you died for our sins, that you were buried, and that you rose again. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch the hearts of the people here tonight, dear Lord, that you'd draw us all close unto you, dear Lord. And maybe there's some people in here just say, you know what, I need to love the gospel a little bit more. I just need to spend a little bit more time thinking about